Thursday Getaway Friday, Friday, November the 10th, 2023, 13 minutes past the hour. You're tuned in to Over the Back Fence with Pastor Steve Whitaker and myself, Scott Spears, which can be heard every Friday morning from 9:15 until 10 a.m. here on WGH Talk, also replayed on Sunday morning from 8:15 until 9 a.m. and Wednesday and Thursday afternoon from 3:15 until 4. Go to the website, WWGH1071.com, and under Program Archives, it is the first show there, or the Facebook page. Go to the WGH Talk Facebook page, and the show is up there usually within 24 hours. Last week, it took about 48 hours, but this week, I think Adam will get it up there a lot quicker. I think he just had something going on last week. And here we are for another Friday. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm just doing great. Have Frank Robinson with me this morning. Good morning, Frank.
Oh, good morning,
Frank,
everybody.
Is wearing his beret, Vietnam beret. Frank is a very proud veteran from that Vietnam era. And Frank also serves on Honor Guard, does a lot of honor ceremonies at the different cemeteries throughout the months and weeks and years. And Frank, I appreciate you doing that, and thank you for your service.
And Delaware is doing it tomorrow morning.
Oh, very nice.
So thank you for your service, yes. Hey, also, I wanted to mention that I am Pastor Steve Whitaker from Community Christian Fellowship. We're in Prospect, Ohio. We meet every Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible study hour, and then at 10:30 for service, and several youth things throughout the week. I was pretty happy. We had pizza with Pastor this week, as we do every other week, and we had 20 kids there, and that was pretty good for a Tuesday evening.
Very, very nice.
What's up, Scott?
You know, not much. It's been just a busy week. We had great election coverage here on Tuesday night. We did a taping on Wednesday night, and just tried to catch up on some things last night, and here we are this morning. Phone lines are working, so I think the move is complete at this point.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of looking like the old place. Not in that way. I mean, I see a lot of the old pictures and memorabilia is what I mean. Yeah. It doesn't look like the old place. I do like this.
So do I. And the big thing this morning, the discussion was the acoustics, because we do have carpet and we do have ceiling tile now, which changed the acoustics. So everybody who was listening the first hour said it sounded good. So I think we've gotten there.
Oh, wonderful. That's great. I thought it sounded pretty good when I listened to the show last week also.
Yeah.
Well, I listened to your show the following day, and some of the coverage and of everything that went on. And you had asked me a question at the end of the show last week. You said, "What will your reaction be if the vote goes to if issue one and issue two pass?" And I think primarily we're talking about issue one, really. And I had to think about that, what my reaction for sure would be. And I think that what I thought it would be really hasn't changed all that much. I think that we are in a time when we have two very, very different worldviews in our population. And although, you know, when I looked at it and I saw where it passed and where it didn't pass, essentially it was the counties of the major cities, and then those that had touched them were the ones where it passed, and the ones, I think 63 counties voted no out of our 88. So that just tells it. And I think the hard thing about that is, and I'll even take it away from this current issue myself, but my feeling on that particular thing is I really wish that there was a way that our all of our rural people could have more of a voice than they do.
Well, you know,
in elections, and aside from this current, no matter what the issue is that comes up, it seems like today, and even more so nationally in all of our elections, that it is the cities and the major population areas and that are guiding our the direction the country's going.
On that note, what shocked me about Tuesday night was, because certainly we do consider Marion County a rural county, that in an election year, which last time, an off-year election year, no governor's race, no presidential race, saw about 5,000 people turn out, 18,000 people turned out in Marion County on Tuesday night, nearly 50% of registered voters. And in Marion County, recreational marijuana passed countywide, and abortion failed by less than 1%.
Yep. Well, I'll tell you, I think that it was, once again, I really have to go back, I believe, to a lot of the lack of understanding about, everyone thought that the abortion bill was just about abortion, and it's not. And there's a lot of other stuff in there. And the recreational marijuana bill also, there's some things in there that I don't know that people realize, as far as who can be employed in the industry, who's exempt from things if they're employed. A lot of things that people would have scratched their heads on. But as usual, we have to. I think what it comes down to is people truly have to be informed. And one thing that I found very, very encouraging to me in the vote and how it came out was, where did it end up? Was it like 43 to
the statewide?
Yeah,
57-43.
So 57-43.
And both were exactly the same. Abortion and marijuana, both 57%.
Which goes back to what I said when the show started, that we have two very different competing worldviews. And I was very excited to see that quite frankly, 43% of the people in the state of Ohio have the same view on morality and worldview that I do when it comes to that stuff. And I find that great encouragement. We're certainly not alone out there. I think that, you know, Ohio will be defined in a lot of ways by this, but I think that we have to understand that, you know, what we want in our state and what we want, and this is why America has always worked, what we desire in our state to happen depends on how we guide people, raise people, how we get information out, what we allow and what we don't allow as a society. And I think that our society will be known, and in the future will be judged for that. I think there were some, there was a lot of misinformation. You know, a lot of people thought that, really did think that women that had miscarriages couldn't get health care. And they thought that there was no exception whatsoever for rape and incest, and that neither one of those were actually true. But people didn't bother to go deeply into that and look deep enough. I think that now, you know, I one of the guests had said, the subject came up about what it was like for women prior to Roe Wade. And, you know, no one wants to see anybody go through pain. But in that whole discussion, it was about what the woman would go through, but there still wasn't any mention of what the infant goes through. And I think that the biggest divide here that we see in this whole thing is that one side says, you can't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want. I'm going to do what I want. My rights come before anything else, and what I desire for myself and my health come before anybody else. And the other side says there's a sanctity to human life, and human life is too precious. No matter what you want or what you want to do or what your rights are, you have no right to kill an innocent child. And those are the two differing views. Now, you can join on to either one. You know, I'll tell you, this is nothing new. 2,000 years ago, pagans were sacrificing babies on altars, and it's not. We've always had differing views and different beliefs, and we always will. But I wanted to read something this morning. it's a passage that's in just two. One's in Isaiah 55:8, and this is, God says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways," and there's one worldview that says that God makes the ultimate decisions, that God is ultimately in control, that God is infallible, that God is all-loving, but what God says is not, he doesn't think how we think. And, you know, in most decisions that we make today, there's feelings behind it, and there's our opinion behind it. But, you know, the worldview that a Christian has is that it's God that makes those decisions, and we may not agree with it, but if God says it, that's the way it is. And that's the difference, because one worldview says that God's the ultimate authority, and the other worldview says that man's the ultimate authority. Then the other verse says, "Let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and he will teach us about his ways, and may we may walk in his paths," and that's in Micah 4:2. And that's that, once again, is I feel that if Christians in this world want to ever win another election in this country, and if Christians want their worldview to be prominent, then they've got to be dominant. And what I mean by that is they have to do a better job of teaching. They have to do a better job of reaching, of caring, of sharing, of making the way known. You know, Frank and I were talking on the way in this morning, and one of the sad things that was going on clear back before Roe Wade, and we talk about, you know, women that would find themselves in trouble that way. There was no adequate counseling in a lot of ways that there should have been. You know, these young women, I'm sure in many cases, felt they had no place to go and didn't know what to do. And how sad is it that we live in a society that supposedly as, how do I want to put it, current, compassionate, supposedly, in a society where we're so educated and we've done so many things right, but yet there was a time 50 years ago, and even a time now, when any young woman would feel there's no place to go, that there's not someone willing to sit down, put their arm around them, and talk to them, and love them, and help them make decisions and go through things. And I think a lot of the desperate abortion tactics that happened way back then were out of desperation and out of no one to talk to and no one to counsel them. And I think that, you know, I would encourage mothers and family members and school teachers and everyone else, you know, when you see someone hurting, talk to them. I'd encourage churches to be a little bit more active in your community and quit worrying so much about the entertainment value and start reaching people in where they're at.
Pastor, if you want to put the headphones on, I think we're getting a phone call here on the program this morning. All right, we're going to come to you, caller, in just a moment, so we'll get Pastor Whitaker here with the headphones. All
he's
right.
On, he's on.
He's on. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Pastor Whitaker.
Yeah.
Are you not going to accept this vote and how the way people feel, or are you still going to try to pass your values on to others?
Of course I'll still try to pass my values on to others. But, you know, we live in a society that the laws go by our democratic rules.
Well,
that
I can't hear you too
just
good.
A little closer.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Were you hearing me okay before when I was on the radio itself?
You can hear over the radio.
I hear you before, Scott, too.
Yeah, now you're good?
Okay, anyway, you there?
There, yeah.
Yeah, no, I accept it? As far as I don't change my mind and my beliefs any, but the fact is the law is the law. But yes, of course I'll still try to encourage people to do something that I believe is morally wrong. I'm a pastor. I better do that.
I don't think you should change your view, but I think religious institutions need to change their way of what in the past everything onto others. People don't, you know, aren't religious, or if they are religious, they agree with abortion. You know, it's time to work on. I bet you there's people that go to your church that's had an abortion before.
Well, yeah, there's some people that have done a lot of things that I don't believe they probably should have done.
Those are the people you need to work on and concentrate, because, you know, will of people has spoke, and the only way we're going to ever have peace in this world if we do what the will of the people wants.
Ah, there's our different worldview. See, I believe the only way we'll ever have peace in the world is if we do what God wants.
Well, everybody will read the Bible and take any passage out of that Bible and make agree with their views. That's
well, actually, the truth is that
the truth is was set in stone, and there's no way you could take every Bible verse and twist it any way you want. You know, maybe, you know, you could do that. But
the thing is about the Word of God and the Bible is that that has been part of the problem, is that people cherry pick scripture and they take things, and if you approach the Bible in a way that it's supposed to be, that you
truly read it for what's being said prior to your verse that you read and what's being said after, and you correlate it with other scripture, you will find that the Bible has a very, very consistent message. And it is easy to come out and cherry pick something and say that it's right or wrong. But, you know, I've been a student of the Bible for many years and studied it, and I study it for what it is. And I'll be honest, I have come across things that maybe I felt one way. Once I realized and studied the word closer, I saw what it truly meant. I think the important thing about the Bible when we understand it is what it actually says, not what we decide we want it to say.
Well, I agree with you having your opinion and stuff.
Oh, great. I'm glad you do. You know, that's why we live in a country where we can have differing opinions. But no, to answer the question, you know, we're not going to, like I was telling Scott a few minutes ago, there were 57% of the people said they wanted this law to pass, but you understand that 43% is a lot of people that really felt that they didn't want to. And, you know, I'm happy to represent those people, but I understand. I also have compassion in my heart for the other 57%. You know, we have, I don't judge anybody. It's not my job to judge them. It is my job to teach what the Word of God says and encourage people to live by that. I don't love anybody any less that does something different than what I would do. And I always teach and teach with compassion. I don't condemn people that have done bad things. Lord knows I've done enough of my own. And the point is that as a pastor that's true to Scripture, I would be cheating God if I didn't try teach and do everything in my being to teach people what God actually says in the Word of God, and to teach that, preach that. I'd be a phony.
That you know, if they're going to have if they're getting pregnant or whatever, and you try to talk to them and tell them, keep them from doing the abortion, you know, I'm all for it. No abortions. But I'm also for, there is times when abortion is right for a family. The mother, may die, or the child, they tell you that it is bad. It's never, there are times. And as long as religious organizations ain't pouring money in it to try to go to the, have a new election on it and stuff, fine. If you can stop abortion, I'm all with you there. But if it's a case where they want it, and especially for a specific reason that it could harm the child or you or anything, I think you gotta leave it alone then.
Well, I'm not a legislature. A legislator, and I'm not a law enforcement officer of any kind, and I'm not going to stop anyone from having an abortion. The point is that I need to teach what I believe the Word of God says, and I have to stand by that. If I'm going to have any honesty to my convictions and my heart at all, that's what I have to do, and that's what I continue to do. I think that in this particular bill, what a lot of people missed, it was interesting, the legislation that came up immediately was not a legislation that said, if a mother, if her life is truly in danger, if you have a child that's, that whatever those ifs, and that, which is actually a very small percentage of abortions.
But the bad thing about it is, this may never even got on the ballot in the state of Ohio, or might have not pass, if the Republicans and the conservatives would have put a bill out there that was not so dang extreme, you might have not had this.
Well, you're right. That may have been different, but they didn't put a bill out there. They didn't put a bill out there. The bill was not brought by them. The bill that was brought was focused on the really hard things to swallow, like health and death and rape and incest. But what was tagged onto it were those extremes that I know that everybody would be appalled at if they actually realized what they voted for. But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is this. I'm a pastor first. I love people, and I put people first. And I put God first, ultimately. And my job is to love and care for people. I do not agree with abortion. I believe in the sanctity of human life. You know, the Bible tells us that God says that he knit you together while you were still in the womb. That means God's presence is in that baby's life. I don't agree with abortion whatsoever. And that will be what I will teach. But I also love those that have had abortions. And it's my job to love them too. And I'm not going to... And I pray that most pastors would have that attitude. I think that if we want to, like I just told Scott, I think that if we want to see things happen differently, we have to educate differently. We have to put our money where our mouth is, because there's a lot of people not willing to do that. You know, this particular election, the four group for it had way more money than the other side that was actually put into it. I'm not saying there's more money not available. It's just whether they gave it or not. You know, I think what George Soros put in this, $13 million, I think, and to get it passed and other things. So they had the advertising dollars. And I don't, that's the way our system works. But here's my thing. If you're someone out there and you're very wealthy and you are pro-life, where was your money? So I asked that question, and that's a challenge to them. But, hey, I appreciate your call today, and we'll move on. And thank you so much for your opinion.
Yeah, I just hope we can all get along.
There you go. Again, phone lines are always open during this program, 740-383-9944. I'll tell you something interesting this week, just in doing the interviews we did. We had somebody on the morning after the election, Wednesday morning, from End Abortion Ohio, and immediately it went to the legislation. We're going to try to get legislation passed that will limit this, and they called on the governor to put a ban on it at this point, call it null and void. So we certainly heard that viewpoint, and then we had people on yesterday. I don't believe we had anybody on Wednesday morning who said that. Yesterday we had somebody on, it was Mary Ellen, who said, obviously she was happy that it passed, so we balanced it there. But I'll tell you, the shocking thing to me was election morning, because purposefully on election morning, because it was a big state, two big state issues, maybe two of the biggest in this time, we had two governors on, one a Democrat and one a Republican. We had Governor Taft on, who we'd never had on, from the great-grandson of William Howard Taft, Republican governor, and we had Strickland on, who's Democrat. Now, I knew where Strickland was going to go on these two issues, even though he is a Methodist minister, and he explained why he felt that yes on both of those was the way he was going to go. Bob Taft, who I had never talked to before, came on and said he was a strong no on issue two, absolutely no. But when we got to issue one, I was shocked, because what he said was that he is pro-life, he's a Republican, he's of that party. But that morning, at 8:45 in the morning, he had not voted yet, and he said, I still don't know how I'm going to vote on this. And I don't know how he voted. And that certainly didn't do him any favors, saying that within his own party at this point. So I don't know what it was about Republicans in this state that a lot of them did vote yes on issue one.
Well, I think because we're talking about politicians again, Scott, and most politicians, I'm not saying all of you, so put yourself in the good category here. Most politicians are more concerned about their reelection than anything else. They spend more time on their reelection than they do on any other issue they stand on. And this is a hot potato issue. And I think one of the reasons it didn't pass is that more Republican politicians were not out front with it and really driving it. And they're not going to. Now, if you're a Democrat, on the other hand, you can be out there and be pro-choice all you want, and it's not going to hurt your votes whatsoever. In Republicans, you know, there's going to be some people, there's some people out there, and you can call them rhino Republicans or moderate Republicans or whatever, and if you're really strong on that issue, you're going to lose those votes. So I think that it's, the sad part of this is that when you're talking about the life of a child, that it would come down to how many votes am I going to get. I think that's pretty disgusting in itself, to be worried more about votes than you are. I think the main issue here, to me,
And this is where our worldviews change again. The main issue here to me is that a child or is it not? And it's interesting because back when Roe versus Wade was first passed, there's very little we knew about a fetus. Very little. We knew that at some point it became a mom could feel it kick, those kind of issues. But what's really hard about the vote that I see today is that in the last, especially 5 to 10 years, they've realized just how young that infant in the womb is conscious, is feeling pain, is growing, reacts. You can see personality development. You can see all these things at such a much earlier time now. And they're realizing, wow, this is a living, live, growing human being in me much earlier than we ever, ever, ever thought it was. And the thought of somebody today being able to end that life. Do you know that today, if the app, not today, but when this law would go into effect, if it goes into effect as stood, and you can challenge me on this one out there all day long, you obviously haven't read it very well, that the health and well-being of the mother goes way beyond, is mom going to die if this baby doesn't come out? It goes to the point of, am I viably going to be able to take care of it? Is it going to affect my financial need? Am I going to have to drop out of college? All those issues. The doctor can make that decision. You know what? For your mental health and well-being, we need to. And if you can end the life of a baby while it's still got one foot in its mother, the minute that foot comes out, it becomes murder. If that isn't bizarre, nothing is. And you might say, well, that's not going to happen very often. Should it happen even once? I mean, what are we condoning here? And that was the problem when I looked at this particular bill. Everyone kept talking about, you know, what about rape and incest? What about rape and incest? What about rape and incest? Well, rape and incest, maybe that's something that they should focus on a little bit more and brought that back to the table. But what I am saying is, excuse me, guys, let me shut this off. What I am saying is that we swallowed a bill that was huge. And it even, in most parents don't realize this, by voting yes on that bill, if a child wants to do all kinds of things physically, the parents have just lost their say-so. They have just lost their ability to say no. The child's rights now trump yours. And it's going to be a real battle down the road. Everyone talks about a couple small things when it comes to this bill, but this bill was really huge. But what I was getting back to what I was saying is, now that we realize as a society that this is a child in there from a much earlier stage than we ever thought, I almost wore a badge this morning. I've got a picture of my granddaughter Abby on a badge, and I almost wore it today. I love Abby. Abby was an honor student in school. She has got a wonderful personality. Abby was a 7-month baby when she was born prematurely. And nobody today would bat an eye at a 7-month baby being taken. So are you telling me you're not taking a life? Come on. Let's get real. You know, I don't want to hear people say this is about my rights, and I don't want being told what to do. We're told what to do all the time. We're told that we can't rape children. We're told that we can't rob banks. We're told that we can't do all these things that affect other people. Well, the truth of the matter is, this affects other people, and this is a person. And to be said, you can't tell me not to kill my child is pretty bizarre to me. Now, I see the other side of it as, well, yes, no, you can't tell me I can't do that, and I will do that. And depending on the right of the mother, I'll do it right up until whenever I feel like I'm going to do it, and you have no right. Where in the world have we gone to as a society? And like we said before on an earlier show, this would have never passed 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, and all the way back to the beginning of our society, this would have never passed because people have said, whoa, this is way too far. Now, are there things that we needed to work on situations I feel the biggest ball that's being dropped is that we're not loving and counseling our young people. Another thing that we're not teaching anymore, Scott, is we're not teaching young ladies to abstain from sexual activity is just like buying a snow cone anymore.
Well, isn't that one of the major problems here in the beginning is that You can legalize abortion, you can make abortion illegal, you can do whatever you want with it. But in the end, if you don't do a certain thing, and if you don't do a certain thing, have sex unprotected, you really don't have to worry about this issue.
Yeah, I think the other thing, you remember the show, Beretta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Robert, what was it?
Blake.
Robert Blake.
What a cute show. And it was kind of funny. He was kind of funny on it, but, well, he ended up in a dark way, didn't he? But anyway.
He did.
But, you know, he would say, you know, don't do the crime if you can't do the time and you know, that kind of thing. Well, you know what? If you're not willing to deal with the outcome of what a man and a woman happens when they come together in sexual relationship, then don't do it. I mean, the bottom line is, and that's what society taught for years. Society taught for years that that was a relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, a couple that was, you know, when they were completely committed to one another in that way. And, okay, you had a child, that was your family and what you did. You know, up until 30, 40 years ago, if a guy got a girl pregnant, he married her. I mean, I know many, many, many marriages that were that way. Quite frankly, if I would have gotten a girl pregnant when I was young, I would have married her. And the point is, we've passed that responsibility off, not my problem. And the other problem is that, you know, when kids go out on dates today, mom and dad, I might want to cover your ears on this one, but, you know, they hook up. That's what they do. And it may be two different guys in the same night. It may be, and the guys, it may be three different girls in the same night. And, you know, they're taught to have safe sex, which doesn't usually happen all the time. And they're taught to have safe sex, and that, you know, remember the song many years ago, "If it feels good, do it. Do it if it's what you feel." Remember that lyric? Well, people jumped into that hook, line, and sinker. And the problem was, it may feel good to you at the time, but there are consequences and repercussions and collateral damage to everything that we do. And the deal is that we have to take responsibility for what we do. What currently is our population, white versus black, in the United States?
You know, I don't
is
know.
Is it 13?
It's something like that.
I think,
yeah.
13% African American,
yeah.
And then you have your breakdown as Latino and white and Oriental and Asian, I should say, not Oriental, Asian. But anyway, 50%, over 50%, and you can check me on this one too, over 50% of all aborted babies are black. Now, if I was a black person and I believed in Black Lives Mattering, I'd be pretty fired up about that one. And the truth is that we need to say, why is this going on? What's going on? Why is this? You know, we've tried, you know, the schools have tried, you know, in some places handing out condoms. They do all these things. People continually get pregnant. It is not that conceived child's fault that you did something that was irresponsible, or it's not that conceived child's fault that a person had sex with a minor or a family member or whatever the case, and that person didn't get the ultimate penalty. Why in the world are sex offenders being let out of jail that do this stuff? I don't think they should ever see the light of day. I really don't, because you've not only stolen a baby's life when this happens, you've stole that mother's life, because she's never right after that. You've stole the innocence of a young person. You've stole the innocence of a child. Our penalties are not nearly strong enough for child molestation and those things that go on. And there are penalties for child trafficking. My word, we have businessmen in this country, well-respected businessmen, that are out there buying children for sex. And this isn't frontline news. Instead, what we want to focus on is that the minute percentage of things, and focus on that all the time, on things that we think we can make hot button issues. Where is our compassion when we're not going after people that are destroying the lives of born children even, and affecting the lives of unborn children through their actions? And that's where Americans need to stand up and say, enough is enough. You know, if there was a politician that stood up and said, and I don't care what party he's in, if he stood up and said, I'm going to put every ounce of my being into getting child molesters and child traffickers prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, I'd have a hard time not supporting them. And we need to quit looking at the R and the D so much and start looking at what is someone truly doing. And if someone's just in there that they're obviously hiding behind a white lily for votes, kick them out. They're not doing anybody any good.
Well, it's interesting because on election night, when it came down to races between people, one of the things I heard, well, why do you think this person won? Why do you think this person won? Name recognition. Well, what do you know about them? What do you know about their issues?
But that's not why Glenn lost.
Well, no, I think somebody did say name recognition when it came to Glenn, but I was thinking of some other races that were city council races. Well, we didn't know either one of them. And that's true. I doubt people did know either one of them.
There were some races that happened with locally for us, too, a little bit. But here's the thing, you know, in Glenn's particular case, Glenn got plenty of coverage in Marion. You gave him a ton.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Glenn, if you wanted to know what Glenn's was about, all you had to do was listen to this show because you had him on a regular basis.
Well, and invited Bill Collins every time, and Bill said no. Now, that was for a whole other reason, because for the same reason people don't show up to the League of Women Voters. And I don't know that that's good.
No, I think people don't show up here a lot of times because they think that it's a trap, and that they should
listen.
Well, I know, and they think that you're one-sided and you're going to try to put them in a I gotcha spot, and they just would rather avoid that. Now, I'll be honest with you, sometimes there are I gotcha questions, and they should be. I mean, if I can't answer a question straight up that you ask me, and if I am so worried about the repercussions of a question that it might affect me, then I shouldn't come on anything anyway. Matter of fact, I shouldn't even be running.
Which is why I think they don't.
And that's why we've always left this show open. I'll field any question from anybody, and it's because, you know, if we can't be an open book, you know.
Well, it's very interesting because the caller who did call in asked you if you were going to change how you felt about abortion. And if I asked you, how do you feel about issue one, we know. You would tell me. Now, I will bet 99% that there are political candidates who, if I ask that same question of, one of the reasons they did not come on is because they did not want to answer that.
I would agree.
Because even though it was no, I don't agree with issue one, they didn't want to say that publicly.
Shame on them.
Yeah. Well, that's the truth.
If you can't be honest and out there with who you are, nobody should vote for you in the first place.
And if you can't,
if you got to change with the tide just to get votes, you're dead in the water.
Well, and a lot of people got elected Tuesday night because that's what they did.
Well, good for them. I hope it works well for them, but shame on them because it's not going to work very well for their constituents because their constituents need somebody that will toe the line and stand up for what they truly believe and what they've. And if they didn't, shame on you. Get out of politics. You're in it for the wrong reason.
Well, and that's the thing. And I have to say this for Glenn and a lot of other candidates. They did answer the questions. You know, we knew where they stood.
I think one of the things that, you know, our caller stated that really is one of the most bothersome things I hear when people are talking to pastors and talking to anyone about the Bible is they say, well, you know, the Bible's open to interpretation to what you say. I don't believe that at all. I believe that the Bible is very clear in its message, and you can cherry pick anything. And you, Scott, being a broadcaster and being in this business and being a reporter and a number of different hats you've worn over the years, you see very well how somebody can cherry pick an interview. You know, I can take three or four words out of something you say and I can make you look like a completely different person. And I can edit tape and do all those things. You don't think people haven't been doing that in the Bible for years?
Oh.
The Bible is a whole. It's an entirety.
Let's take this call. Go ahead, caller.
It's me, Scott. I'm outside talking because I have to be quiet.
Okay, go ahead.
So I don't wake anybody up. Yes, I agree with the Pastor Whitaker because, you know, growing up, when you do go to church, you know, you learn that stuff. And if I hadn't went to church, I wouldn't have learned that. But what I get is, let me think, I got to get my thoughts together. If the child is like 12 or 10, that's what I have a problem with. You know, if you do it early, or if the mother's life is in danger and you've got three other kids, this one might be born handicapped. You know, what does
well, I think
the husband
that, I
do?
Think that
I hate, you know, for the kids not to know their mother. And then I had a fourth one. Oh, if the child is, you know, I don't know, like cerebral palsy, we had a child in my hometown that he couldn't do anything. He couldn't feed himself. He just laid there. And, you know, stuff like that, I don't know. But they always say that it's a miracle to have a baby. Well, it's not really for some, I guess.
Well, I'll tell you.
And then when I saw that doctor on that show a couple weeks ago that and stuff, and he did abortions. And I don't know if he was a regular doctor or whatever. And when his daughter, six, got killed, when he went back, he did it short time, but he I didn't know how they did it. He, you know, if it's too big through that little tube thing, he showed these, like, forceps. They had a saw on the end, and they had to grab the leg, and then they had to stack each part up. And then they had to count it to make sure, because the mother, I guess, would get infection if any of it was left behind. And that just so, it puts me in mind of a chicken, you know, cut up and laying there.
Mm-hmm.
And that I couldn't take. It made me sick. But really, I don't believe in abortions. But then there's certain things, you know, that situations. I don't know.
It's a very hard thing. And I know that with a child that is too young to carry a child, there is a severe health issue there. And that's a whole different subject. And when you have people that are severely handicapped, and you know, can I tell you a sweet story about something though?
Yes.
I've got a girl in the church. We'll just call her Jessica. And well, she's a lady now. She's a 30-year-old lady now. But anyway, I had Jessica as a kid in Sunday school. And anyway, long story short, Jessica's first child. She was going to be severely handicapped, and the doctors encouraged her very much to have her aborted, and Jessica would have no part of that. And she said, you know, she's mine regardless of what she is, and God made her for a reason. So anyway, this little girl was born. Her name's Josie, and Josie is if I do believe she just turned 13, she's a teenager now. But Josie is severely handicapped. But I can tell you something, that little girl has touched more lives. She's got the sweetest smile. She's loved. I had the privilege of baptizing her several months ago. And I'll tell you what, she is so deeply loved, and she knows that she's loved. And I'll tell you, she wouldn't want to end her life for the world, and I don't know anybody that wouldn't want her here. So believe me, there's good that comes out of things that we don't always see. You know, God looks at the big picture, and we look at what's right in front of us. And like I said, you know, there's a lot of questions and a debate that will go on and should rightfully go on about a lot of these situations that are grave. But unfortunately, what I see with this particular bill is the grave is going to be a very small percentage of what is going to be addressed, and a lot of things that are going to be taken advantage of is where a child should never lose its life. And to me, you've heard and seen the stories, and you know what goes on, and we're going to be funding it, and it's very, very hard. And, you know, I appreciate your call, and it's, listen, if I could encourage you to stay compassionate, trust God, continually pray for those around you, and reach out and help educate those young children today on how much God loves them. And there's one other thing we need to do. We need to tell young women how precious they are and how special God made them. And the thing that he called on men to do was to hold them up as pure and wonderful and put them on the pedestal they desire, and to treat young women as they should be. And we need to teach our young women to accept no less. If you got
well, I didn't understand that so much. I took it that they could be aborted clear up to time of birth.
They can.
Now, maybe I didn't get that right. And then no parental
parents
under 18 had a say in it. And
they have
I
no
would
say
not
so.
Vote for that period.
Well, that's what they...
And I don't know anyway, but when I saw that, that is not right.
That
I
is mean, what the bill said. Or the
is
the
it?
Lawsuit. Yes,
well,
exactly.
I thought that Emma, who could abort it? And then some states are wanting after the child is born, the doctor and the mother can decide.
Yeah, there is that out there.
Aborted. How could you abort it when it's already?
I never thought that would happen, but I'll be honest with you. After what I just saw happen in Ohio, it wouldn't surprise me one little bit, because there isn't a whole lot of difference between the day before and the day after.
And then I have a question. I know I've seen a couple of these girls. They were like usually at a dance, and they were pregnant. And they'd have a baby, and it would, you know, end up in the toilet or something, or at home, and they said it was dead. But usually I think most of these girls nursed in several to end up in prison because they killed the baby. Well, and that's not right. You know, when you're 15, 16, you don't know what to do anyway. You're not, you know, anything. And to me, you know, the child, I don't know, some if they couldn't prove that it you know, however and stuff, that I don't like because I guess they were afraid to tell anybody and they had to.
And there's part of the problem is that we should have plenty of people available to help and guide and direct. And, you know, we have a wonderful pregnancy center right here in Marion Living Hope. It's Hope. What's it? Living
Hope? Hope Crossing?
Hope Crossing.
I believe so.
That really counsels young women from the get-go all the way through, even post-birth, and helps them with parenting classes. And we need more and more of that stuff. But I do appreciate your call today. Thank you.
All right. About a minute and a half to go. It's been an interesting program today.
Yeah, I think so. And I want people to understand something. And please don't believe any differently from no matter what people try to say, is that, you know, just because I differ with what you believe and what your worldview is doesn't mean that I don't care about you. And I'm not going to call you names. I'm not going to do that stuff. I pray that we all draw closer to God and understand, you know, what God says and how much God loves us and how much God just wants us to understand Him and to trust the Word of God. If I truly believe that God designed me and He designed me for a purpose, I want to see that purpose is. But, you know, the more and more it becomes about me, about me, about me. I mean, come on, guys. We live in the most narcissistic society we've seen since the Roman times. And I mean, people are all about themselves. I mean, look at this. You know, yeah, I respect life. Yeah, do we really? Domestic violence is up how many percent? 10,000% domestic violence, suicide. There never used to be a suicide, teen suicide rate. It didn't happen. We have so devalued life. And look at the lives being taken every day. It's a people issue. And we've devalued the life to where no one values it. And I'm taking the last of our time. Go ahead, Scott.
Oh, that's okay. You know, I think it's been an interesting show, and I hope people continue to tune in, as I know they will, every Friday morning from 9:15 to 10 a.m.
God bless you guys. You know, I'm not changing my view. Love you all.
And as I mentioned before, my voice and Bozo's pretty much ended up sounding the same. I'll tell you one quick story. My wife and I were having dinner in a restaurant.